So we went to this little college. It was a vocational college. And my older sister didn't make it through college. She did like a lot of girls. She got pregnant and she had to drop out of school. She finished high school, but she didn't go to college. The second girl went to college and she took home economics. Mm-hmm. And then when she finished college, she married. She was going to send the last two girls to school, which was Philistine and myself. So the times was very hard. That was 1934. Mm-hmm. We had to stay out of school a year and a half or 2 years, and then finally we was able to go back to school. But times were still too hard because we didn't have clothes to wear. That was our problem. And my mother wasn't a very good go out and get her or something. I know she didn't know to ask people, and I look back at it now, and it was a lot of people would have helped us, but they didn't know we needed help. Mm-hmm. So we dropped out of school. I went to college 2 years, and I was taking home economics like the other sister. The other one, both of us taking the same thing. So we dropped out, and that was about the end of my college. I wanted to be a home economist. I wanted to work in that field. So then I decided I wanted to make more money, and I went to a little small town, Tyler, Texas. And I went there. I didn't care too much for that town because it was, when I went there, I wasn't accustomed to the filth of the city. I was used to this little college town, which was very clean. The sidewalks was big and clean. There was no cracks on the sidewalk, and you didn't have to walk in the dirt. And we had running toilets, and we had everybody had electric lights, and they had gas. And when I went to this little small town, people were still using kerosene lamps, and they had outdoor toilets. And they, when you walk down there in the streets, they were full of mud, and you get your shoes so muddy. And I just didn't like it, but I didn't say anything about it. But I told myself, I'm not going to stay here long. I'm going to have to do better than this because I don't like this little town. And the only thing I could do there for a living was do domestic work. And it didn't pay very much, so I definitely didn't like it. So I was working in an apartment. A woman had an apartment house. She had four units there. And in one of these units, one of the Connolly brothers lived there. He was a brother, he was an uncle, I just can't remember now, to this John Connolly that was running for president. Mm-hmm. And their mother lived further down the street in one of those big old mansions, I call it. So this man had a daughter, this Connolly had a daughter, and her name was Frances. And so Frances got married, and I was talking to the maid, because I was a good talker, and always inquisitive, and always asked a lot of questions. So anyway, I was very friendly with him, so I'd bounce over there to see how the wedding was coming along, So they had took everything out of the living room, and the living room and dining room, I suppose, was, it might have been larger than this one here, and it might have not been as far as this one and that combined. See, mm-hmm. that's my dining room. This is my living room, but it was
a big room.
But it was straighter than this, I assume, because I've forgotten. But anyway, all around the walls there, they had everything, mm-hmm. the presents, you know, and they had them all stacked up, and I thought, this is something, this is nice, you know. So she was kind of a friendly little girl, and I talked with her, and I was, how old was I? I was either 20 or 21, I can't remember, 20 or 21, then she married, and I liked to crochet. So honey, I had to give her a crochet. He said, what are you going to give her for a birthday, for a wedding present? And I thought to myself, what can I give this rich woman? Does she want anything that I'd have to give her? So anyway, I crocheted a little tablecloth and gave her. And you know, I look back at now, and that was a beautiful gift, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So then I thought about her, all the pretty things she had at her wedding. And I said, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to get that. And she had sterling silver there. And she had some dishes from somewhere, I don't know. It wasn't made here, you know, it was out of Germany or somewhere like that. And I says, well, when I get married, I'm going to do this same identical thing. I'm going to get me all of this. I didn't get married like she did, but didn't have a wedding. But I did get married, and I took me a long time, but I got the same identical thing she had. I crocheted me a bedspread, an afghan like she had, and a tablecloth, and then I bought the silver. I said, I'm going to do just like that, because I found out you could do it if you try. Mm-hmm. So I did, and that really did inspire me. That really inspired me to want better things, just looking at things that you got as a gift. So then I left. I didn't like it there. Some person told me, I was saying, I don't like it here because you can't make any money. That's what I was crying, saying. Then another lady told me, I was struggling trying to get some money to go back to school, and she told me, she says, now I'll give you, she was a Jewish woman, she says, I'll tell you about myself and you can go from there. She says, I finished school, college, and I went off to college, and I came back, and I came home to work, and my daddy got me a job right in the community where I live. She got a job and settled down to teach, and then she looked around and she said there was nobody to marry. And she says, now I don't know what to do. And when she was telling me that, she was in her 40s and she still hadn't gotten married. And she says, now you can choose whichever way you want to do. If you get married, you might not be able to go to school. So I kind of halfway took her advice. I got married instead of going on to school, because it was such a struggle. Mm-hmm. But I came to California first.
I was just to backtrack a little. I was thinking about when you're talking about going to school. When you were younger, when you were as a child going to school, where did you go to school?
Right there, where at this college.
At the college.
Right there.
So
at the college.
Was it a place where you could also go to like elementary school?
Yes, and all the way through. I started at kindergarten there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went all the way through.
And it was segregated.
Yes,
school.
It was. Uh-huh. It was a segregated school.
Uh-huh. Were you aware growing up of things like the difference that you went to a black school, say, versus...
Yes, I was aware of it, but I wasn't too... I don't know when I really found out how different it was. I just really don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we went to this little school where I went to school, I was just saying to some other people, I never had to sit with anybody. We always had our own private bench.
Mm-hmm.
And this little school I went to, it was never more than 30-some children in the whole school, elementary, junior high, and senior high. It was never more than 30 kids in the whole school.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, we got individual attention,
mm-hmm.
practically. And we all had our desks, our pencils was furnished, our paper was furnished, so our books was furnished. They used to have to buy books, you know. My older sisters had to buy books. But when I started to go into school, the books and things was free, especially where at this Prairie View. And it was just like a little, it was almost like a, what would you say? A little trial school, a little something. We always had the best.
Mm-hmm.
We did. We had the best. We had the... As I said, we had the best books. We had access to the library, the college library. They had books in there for the elementary children and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice, warm school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to the place where they gave us a lunch. So we had it halfway good,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't realize how good we had it at the
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was aware that it was, as I said, we got everything so good because we wasn't ever cut short. It's like when we had to... study home economics. We always had the food to cook. You know, you'd be surprised, you know, in a lot of schools they couldn't even teach cooking because they had no food to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But we did. And we always managed somehow to get something to sew on. So we sort of got by fairly good. And when you're getting by like that, you don't think of it. Other people are not.
Mm-hmm.
But we could see the little school over there at Hempstead. We didn't pay it too much attention.
Mm-hmm.
But we did know there was bad getting along because there was some children, some white kids that had to go to school way on the other side of Hempstead, and they would pass by Hempstead and go to a little school down at Waller. And they said the reason they went to this school down in Waller and didn't stop at the school in Hempstead because the kids was fighting each other. Now, those was white kids. They were so mean to the kids that would come out of the country into this little town to go to school. So, you know, he's glad to ignore that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that thing going off in there?
I can stop this question.
I really wasn't aware of mm-hmm. when it comes to segregation. I didn't know that it exists.
Uh-huh. So, it sounds sort of like, to me, from what you're saying, that when you grew up, that you were, you had contact with a lot of your own family. Were your, besides your grandparents, were any of your uncles or aunts?
Yeah, I had uncles and aunts and cousins.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever it was a funeral, that's when everybody would get together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like I don't know what you would call it, but it was like a picnic.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody come to see Aunt so-and-so, the last remains of her. So all the grandchildren would come up from far and near, so you get to know all the news and mm-hmm. see all the cousins and things. So that was always a big day.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody enjoyed that. It's just like a picnic, I mm-hmm. said. So that was real enjoyable. So I did have a few cousins that we... Then my cousins had cousins on their other side of the family, so we did get together. Bye-bye. So we really... We did have a fairly good family
mm-hmm.
Connections there.
Mm-hmm. Did the people, you also mentioned growing up that you spent time with the woman that your mother worked for.
Did they
have any children?
They didn't have any children, but she had some brothers that had children.
Mm-hmm.
And sisters that had children. So they was always had someone in and out of the house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I always sat around there and played with them. She had a brother, had four children. His children, I was born in January, and then the twins was born in August. And by me being that small of a baby, and then I'm sure they must have brought their babies up there, you know, sooner than they were born.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes Mama would have to nurse them mm-hmm. as well as me. So I had to share with them. I was forever having to share with somebody. My older sister, the one that's older than I am, she wanted to be a baby all of her life. And I was born, Mama had to still be nursing her as well as me. So I had to share my milk again.
Mm-hmm.
And here they come along with these twins. I had to share again. Her milk, and then Mama said, sometimes her milk would be so full until she was glad to get rid of it, you know. So
mm-hmm.
it was all right for her to nurse them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of things people do that people don't even know about,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't even dream about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady had a horse. I'll never forget. She had a horse named Peanuts, and we'd get old Peanuts. You could call Peanuts to you. Come here, Peanuts. You didn't have any better sense.
Mm-hmm.
They'd come to you, and then you could just ride him. I could sit up on him bareback, and I'd get a grapevine and hook it around his mouth, you know, and get up on top of him. And then sometime I'd make him go to a stump where I could jump up on him easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew how to make him go to a certain little spot in the fence where it'd be on a hill, like, and then the fence was right there, and then he'd jump over that fence in order to go somewhere else,
uh-huh.
to go on the other side of the fence. Then I'd bring him back somewhere along the line and make him jump back over that fence so we could go on back on the other side of the pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And I often think about the things I used to do as a child. I wouldn't dare do them now.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be one of them. I would not fit more go in and ride that horse for nothing.
What kinds of games and things did you play?
Well, we did play some games, and Mama used to take us down to the swimming hole in the summertime. We would swim. We'd play baseball, and we would... She didn't like for us to play too many games that you could gamble on, because my daddy was a gambler.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to stay away from that.
Mm-hmm.
we would, and then a lot of times I didn't like hitting games. I didn't like to play the games that you'd like to hit with. Mm-hmm. Because, you see, I like to sew.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to knit, so I played with the dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And see, this lady would always see to it that we had a doll. And she would have someone to come over to her house and stay maybe 5 weeks or 4 weeks or something like that. And she would sew for her and all of her nieces and sisters and what have you. And it would be a lot of scraps.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she'd give us all the scraps. And then by her buying us a doll, then I'd go home and sew for my doll.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit down and would do a lot of sewing. And let me see, what else did I do? I did do like the other kids. I've made mud pies, too. And then I had to make some of my own dolls, and I had to make my toys to play with. We didn't have too many movable toys, you know. All our toys was very small.
Mm-hmm.
But and then I also learned to hunt. You had to go out and hunt. You had to go out and kill squirrels and possums and rabbits and birds.
Mm-hmm.
To survive, that was a must. Then we had to gather our own wood, so we had to go out and saw the wood.
Mm-hmm.
For the winter time, bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a job we had to do.
Mm-hmm. What other chores did you have to do?
Well, we had to haul water from a creek. We had a well, but we had to haul water from the creek to wash with, wash clothes with. And my mother, when my mother married this man and he died, well, at this school, a place, this college,
mm-hmm.
we, I'll show you the pictures of that next time. I'll get all together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of people there, men and women, and they, I don't know how much money they was making then. At that time, it was less than $100 a month, but it was more than 50. How is that?
Mm-hmm.
And they could afford, with that small amount of salary now, they could hire some of their work done, you know. Mama would do a lot of washing for them. She'd wash for the men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she was able to keep us together, is by washing, doing washing. And one man, I know she washed for him about 15 years almost.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a 75 cents a week, and in the summertime it was a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
He always gave us, the girls, we'd carry his washing backwards and forwards, and he'd give us a dime. A nickel for bringing it and a nickel for carrying it back. And I saved my money when it was handed down from one to the other.
Mm-hmm.
The older sister had it first, and then the next sister was going to college, so she missed it. And then the next sister moved away from home and went to live with someone else when she was about 15. So that left me home by myself, so I hauled it backwards and forwards, and so that I would get the nickel. And I was always the one who's going to save and do something about it. So with that nickel, with that dime a week, I put myself in an insurance policy for a nickel a week. And that's what I paid for it with. I'd save the nickel, and I spent a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, we didn't have too many play games. By me being up there alone, we kind of stayed on, the house was on a hill. And being a girl, you know, you got to be a little bit more careful with the girls. So I stayed on there and went to school, and I finally went to college after a while. I went to Tyler and worked a while, worked a year, saved my money, and I came back to school and stayed and went 2 years. And it was just so tough, and I didn't have any clothes. You see, after working for 2 years and then going back to school for 2 years, see, my clothes had played out on me. I didn't have any more clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember buying something like a raincoat, and we would answer for a raincoat and a winter coat, and I paid about $5.98 from Sears and Roebuck, ordered it from Dallas and Sears and Roebuck, and it lasted me 2 years, and then 2 years it was wore out, and then I didn't have anything else to wear, so I couldn't go to school, so that just put me out of school.
Now, when you were growing up and riding the horses and playing the games and going hunting and things, what kind of clothing were you wearing?
Oh, I was wearing clothing just about like I'm wearing now, but you see, I could sew.
Mm-hmm.
So I could, and you know, you could get stuff just about like this.
Mm-hmm.
I have on now for 10 cents a yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I could make it. And then in the meantime, I made for other people. So I made a little change like that. Then in the summertime, there was a lot of people would come down to summer school because they hadn't finished college, and they had to keep, what would you say, when you keep going back to school, even though you got a job teaching, but you still go back every year to
sort of keep them up on
the Yeah, or either get your degree. Maybe you didn't get your degree. In those days, you could go to college and get so many X number of credits. I don't know, I'll just say 30 credits you was eligible to teach.
Mm-hmm.
But you needed, I say, 120 or whatever it was to 200 and something to graduate. Mm-hmm. So they would keep going back every summer. And then I would go over there in the summertime and washed the clothes for the girls and things and made money like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my job. That I really enjoy that. See, I'd work for them. I'd wash and iron their clothes and 10 cents a dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd sew a little bit for them because I didn't mind that, you know. And so that's how I made a little money. And you'd be surprised. And if in the summertime, if I made $15 or $20 those 6 weeks they was in school, that was good money.
Yeah.
So I was able to manage on that.
How old were you when you were doing the work for the women who came back to school?
Oh, I was anywhere from 15 to 18.
Uh-huh.
In that bracket right through there.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, my mama had been washing all of her time, you know, from the time I was 9.
Mm-hmm.
She had washing, so she would, you know, wash for the people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she made money. But in the meantime, my brother was working, and so he was buying the food, and that was all we needed.
Mm-hmm.
We was living in our own house, and everything else was, you know, cheap,
mm-hmm.
considered cheap. So that's how I managed for it. But then when I went to Tyler, I discovered I didn't have any trade. I had nothing I could do other than just that, and that wasn't what I wanted. So that's when I decided to I better get out of this town. And I did want to go to Dallas, but I didn't like Dallas because that was too rough. And someone told me, well, why don't you try California, go to Los Angeles? And then I got Los Angeles on my mind.
Mm-hmm. Before that time, when you were growing up, what did you picture for yourself in terms of the future?
I always wanted to get married and have a family. I had that in mind. And mm-hmm. I was trying to go to school so I could be a school teacher, but either work in the as a home economist. That's what I had in mind. I wanted to work in the home. I wanted to
mm-hmm.
be a home. I wanted to do demonstrations of showing people how they could cook, how they could sew, and how they could build furniture, and how they could manage, and how they could, you know, that was what I wanted to do because they had them around there doing that type of work, and that was what I thought I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what gave you the idea to do that? Or?
Well, I was just used to it. I had seen so much of it all of my life.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was used to seeing in the home. I'd see people building fences and making a garden and sitting on the side of the road selling the vegetables, and then I wanted to sew because I found out I could make money sewing. So I wanted to stick around that field.
Mm-hmm.
And that has always been my sort of choice, and I still today I still like sewing and anything pertaining to that form of art.
Mm-hmm. When you were growing up, you had mentioned earlier something that stuck in my mind was that you had played when you were younger with the children of the woman that you're, not her children, but her
relatives.
Relatives. Did you and your brothers and sisters, your brother and your sisters, play much with white children who were living in the
I did. I did. I did the most playing. They didn't.
Uh-huh.
For some reason or another, they seemed to have gotten away from it more than I did. I always did play with them.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I don't know how I managed to be the one to play with them. I remember I used to play with a little boy, and we got along. We didn't do any things nasty as we do today. We would go meet down at the creek and go fishing, and we would fish. We had nothing else on our mind but fishing.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go down there and fish. If my hook got tangled up, he'd help me get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would go hunting and so forth and so on, we didn't do the bad things as kids do today. We didn't... he wasn't mean. He didn't have any ideas that I'll shoot you with a gun or something. He'd shoot the birds.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't like the children do today. That's why I almost wonder how did I survive. But we never had no problems like that. Mm-hmm. I did. I always did play with the white kids. But I don't know how I just, you know, looking back at it now, I don't see how I did it myself. But I never had no bad feelings when I grew up, and either they moved away or I moved a little further over something, and we just, you know, kind of broke away like that. And I guess it to me, I don't see how it was planned, but eventually we just grew up and got away. Mm-hmm. I just found other interests, or maybe they did too, or I don't know. You know, this is country, they just moved away.
Mm-hmm. Do you know about how old you were when you stopped, when you ended up playing more?
Well, I think I must have been around 13, mm-hmm. in that category. Mm-hmm. But I think in the meantime, too, I must have found other interests also. Mm-hmm. Because by the time I was 13, then I got to be a 4-H club member. Mm-hmm. And by being a 4-H club member, then you had a lot of projects to do, and then you found other interests, see. Mm-hmm. So I assume that's what, that took up my summers. Mm-hmm. So you used to play with them in the summertime.
Yeah.
See, when school was out where they lived, then they'd come up to stay with the aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, you know, and then I'd go over to play with them because they'd come over to play with me, whichever one.
Mm-hmm.
Because we was always accustomed to playing with each other, so it was just like I knew they was coming in the summertime, they knew they was coming, so we just got together and just played.
Mm-hmm.